Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is a prophecy reality edition. Yes, we are live in the studio, and the studio cam is on. The chat room is open, so come on over to FirstAmendmentRadio.net, click on the chat button, and join us there. Okay, what are we going to talk about this morning? There's a lot of ideas about prophecy, and most of them are wrong out there. Most popular thing is the dispensational left behind eschatology of the day, where everyone believes that they're going to be raptured away 7 years before the resurrection. And while they're away, then this an Antichrist is going to appear, and nobody can know who he is right now, and so it really doesn't matter. We can guess and play games, but nobody can know who the Antichrist is until this rapture happens, and all of the true believers in Christ will be taken away for 7 years, and the Antichrist will have his rule and reign over the earth for 7 years. Now that's the dispensational left behind eschatology. And it's all wrong. Sorry, no rapture. There is a resurrection. They call that that's their great tribulation. And they take all of the catastrophe and all of the curses and everything that's in the book of Revelation that they don't like and they don't want to happen to them. That's why they need to be raptured out before it happens. And they want to put it all into this 7 year period when the unknown Antichrist character is going to suddenly appear and rule the whole world. Fantasy. That's what that is. Now we have 600, 700 years of church history, of the Reformed Church and pre-Reformation Church, absolutely, without a doubt, vociferously identifying that great apostasy spoken of by Paul in Thessalonians chapter 2. And that man of sin, whom we also call the Antichrist. Now, there are many Antichrists, yes. But that man of sin is one character, and he is the Antichrist character, the Antichrist of Antichrists. In the same way that Jesus is the King of Kings, he is the man of sin. And he was outed and identified 500, 600, 700 years ago by the pre-Reformation and Reformation fathers. No doubt about it. Also, I was listening to Rick Wiles on True News, and I've sent him copies of my late books and everything, and I never even got an acknowledgement or a thank you or even you're out of your mind from him. It probably threw them all in the trash. Because he certainly doesn't seem like he read them, because I heard that recently he said that he's going to write 45 books over the next 15 years because he's always wanted to be an author. It's like his dream. I think Rick should stick to the news because he gave us a little clue. I believe it was yesterday or the day before on his broadcast of what he's going to write about. Yes, he's now identified the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not according to what the church fathers have said over the last 500, 600, 700 years, and then it identified the Antichrist or the man of sin, but not specifically said beast. So he didn't say who the Antichrist would be, the character, or who the man of sin is. Although if he read the books I sent him and really studied historical writings of the church and knew much about history, he wouldn't say the things that he's saying. But he's identified the fourth beast, and he explicitly stated that the fourth beast is not Rome. Okay? So obviously he's not paying any attention to Daniel chapter 2 or Daniel chapter 7 and 8 at all to find out what a beast is. Because if you go to the prophetic or apocalyptic understanding of what the scripture calls a beast, well, it's not going to be what Rick Weil says it is. He says it's going to be the global brain. It's not Yeah, it's not the Roman Empire. Explicitly stated that the fourth beast, he didn't say where he got fourth beast from, but you only find fourth beast in Daniel. You don't find fourth beast in Revelation, although you do see the mention of the Daniel fourth beast in the book of Revelation. But the term fourth and four beasts is strictly out of Daniel. And those four beasts are enumerated in history, beginning with Babylon. And every world-conquering or empire that rose up out of that locality there in the old world. Explicitly, Rome isn't explicitly named, but it is the next one consecutively in order of the prophecy and of those that are named. So how he could say it's, now suddenly it's not going to be world-dominating power in the old world theater or the sea where the other three beasts of those four beasts rose up. He's saying now it's going to be something totally different. So what he's really saying is that it's not going to be a beast, because wouldn't God, he would call it something else in the prophecy if it was going to be something else other than what the three previous explicitly named beasts were or are. I mean, named by name. So we know what a beast is because God has named the ones that were history at the time that the prophecies were written. He named those beasts. So any beast that rose up after those beasts had to be the same kind of thing. Otherwise, we have confusion. So it can't be a global brain. Because that would be something else. God would have to use another term. And what would he draw on to, you know, because he's been going to these conferences and stuff. So he's getting all brand new ideas about how to interpret prophecy. He's not going to the scripture itself and drawing out from the scripture, to using scripture to interpret scripture, because if you use scripture to interpret scripture, you're never going to get global brain for the interpretation of a beast. You're going to get what has been explicitly named as beast, and you'll find something of the same kind to fill in for the future beast that is unnamed. But if you follow the course of the prophecy, it is obvious that it is the Roman Empire, and that it changes and morphs over time into something that is unrecognizable as to being exactly what it was in its beginning. But all of those morphs and changes are there in the scripture too, so that you can follow them out through history. So when people come up with new ideas, well, go to the scripture and ask them, where do you find global brain? How do you get that out of the scripture? And they can't. See, this is people reaching into their own heart and their own mind for an interpretation of the scripture. And, you know, that's where most prophecy pundits are today. Rather than going through history, going through the Bible in history, looking for the interpretation of these apocalyptic phrases and terms from the Bible itself, well, they try to fit it onto something that they think is going to happen or something that they're involved with in the day, like he's going to all these conferences and talking about a global brain and the, you know, the 5G and all this stuff and how everything's going to be interconnected. And yes, the Antichrist is going to use whatever tools he can to put his end time Mark of the Beast scenario together. So Rick Wiles should stick to the news, and hopefully he won't get time to write his 45 books. But hopefully he'll keep busy with the news that he has before he could, you know, do that much damage to the body of Christ. Anyway, or, you know, I pray for him, you know, and I ask the Heavenly Father to open his eyes so that he isn't unwittingly a shadow government or Jesuit coadjutor covering for the true Antichrist by coming up with another theory of a future unknown Antichrist, but trying to identify it as something other, or the beast, the final beast, as something other than what it actually is, or what the scripture interprets itself to be. So I ask everyone to pray continually every day for all of the broadcasts here on First Amendment Radio, that they be worthy of the support that the Heavenly Father sends our way for the work that needs to be done in His kingdom to bring the elect to a right knowledge of the gospel and the gospel message and world event and what's going on around us so that we can quit all of the confusion and join the body of His saints that have an idea, that have their minds enlightened to understand God's word, and to be honest about what they don't understand. Because, I look at the last 10 years. It's been over like 12 years now since I did a Bible study on the Revelation. And so you're going to want to stick around for that, because I am going to redo. And I should say, the last Bible study I did on the Revelation, it was okay for someone who didn't have knowledge, perhaps, because a lot of time all I could say is I don't know, but I've learned a lot over the past 10, 12 years since I did that study. So in the second hour here, you'll want to stick around for that. We're going to go into part 10 of The Shadow Government Works for the Antichrist. And in that chapter, chapter 10, is called The Restoration of the Inquisition. So we're going to talk a lot about how the Inquisition was restored to the shadow government for its operation. They had Inquisitions before the shadow government was formed, but they were restored to this newly formed shadow government that works for the Antichrist. So you want to stick around for chapter 10 or part 10 of that, like I said, beginning in our second hour. And I have like a couple more parts. I have a part 11, and then for part 12, we're going to do you'll have to stick around for the closing part 12 of that. And then after that, that's when I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to go through the entire book of Revelation, and we're going to cover what the historical interpretation is, what the different views are in the true Reformed Church and the infant church as they were applied rightly to the scripture. And there's a little variation there, so we're going to cover some of the variation, but we're going to try to give you the best, the meat of it all, so that you can because I've been chewing on it all for many years, but they say, eat the meat and spit out the fat and the bones. And so that's basically what we want to do. I think we're going to do a study, having already eliminated most of the fat and the bones, but going to get directly to the meat and what more lines up with apocalyptic scriptural interpretation than anything else. No, there'll be no global brains and no end-time antichrist that's suddenly going to appear. There's going to be no rapture and seven-year tribulation in our interpretation of the scripture and of the book of Revelation. But we're going to get to the truth, what the scripture really says and what history reveals, using what the apocalyptic symbols and so forth as they're exposed and interpreted by the scripture itself. So you want to stick around for that coming in the near future. And we're going to talk about some of the Inquisitions of recent history and where they came from and so forth, what's happened, Pol Pot and Stalin and other communist rulers of the world and their terrible slaughters. And we'll tie them into the shadow government a little bit, so you know where to look. And all of this is available at your fingertips, because we do have access to the global brain, or should I say the internet. The global brain. Yeah. What a catchy phrase. Yeah, we can run with that one. Let's see. Jeremy in the chat room. And good morning to the few people that have showed up. We have Voyager, Jeremy, Blessed, and Judy just joined the chat room. And you can join too, but and if you have any questions, like Jeremy says, Nicholas, can you talk about the King James Version onlyism craze? That is the King James Version being a perfect translation. And, well, the craze continues because it's been going on for many, many years. And it all sounds good when you start, they first start at it, but, you know, I love the King James Version. And it's the version of the Bible that I use, the authorized King James Version. And I believe that it is the best English version that we have. You know, best version available for the English-speaking people in the world. And I say that because I believe that's true. Because I believe that our shadow government has helped to create a lot of, what I call is the Antichrist versions out there. To water down the Bible, because, you know, what the Antichrist says, and the shadow government says, if you can't beat them, join them. And they couldn't burn all the Bible, so they decided to water them down and change them a little bit. So you gotta beware of all these other new versions. So I'm gonna say that the King James, authorized King James Version is the best version for the English speaking people out there. And if I was gonna translate into another language, I guess I would do it from the King James Version. Okay. That being said, the King James Version onlyism is an extreme craze where they say that even over the Hebrew and the Greek, the original texts, the King James Version. Well, that's not right. I use a tool like eSword. You can get that from e-sword.net. And you can download it. And when you download the program, you get the authorized King James Version and the Greek and Hebrew with it. And you can compare. And it's a great study tool if you use it properly. Now, you don't go, well, look at each word and you look at the way and you look at the Hebrew or the, what do you call it, Strong's translation. And it'll have a selection of interpretation into English for that word, where it's used differently in different scriptures. You can't, it's not a pick and choose. Okay. You have to look at context is very important with the King James Version. And, you know, Jeremy says, is the King James Version watered down at all? And it is a translation of the original text. That's why we use the tool, the Strong's Hebrew and Greek Concordance. And what you do is you look at the way a word is used throughout the scripture. You consider the context in which that word is being used to understand what the definition of that Greek or Hebrew word is in the instance where it is being translated. And is it watered down at all? Well, that's debatable. Okay. I'm going to say that's debatable. My statement, and I'm going to stick with this, Jeremy, is that it is the best translation available for the English speaking people. And I'm going to let it rest there, because here's what's important. You could even use one of these Jesuit versions, and the Spirit of God, because the Word of God is there, the Spirit of God can work through it. People have been saved without the Bible, just hearing the Word come out of someone's mouth, and that not very well, okay? So it's without the Spirit, it doesn't matter what translation you have, it's a dead letter. But all that being said, and to answer your question the best I can, all I'm going to say is it is the best English translation available. That's it. And it's to be preferred over all the others. The true Word of God is Spirit-led. It's what God gave to those that wrote it in the language in which it was given in. But the Spirit of God, if you have the Spirit of God, then you have the Word of God, whatever translation. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, well, you're going to be misled anyway. So anyway, that's about all I'm going to say about that. I think that should be enough. I hope it is. If anyone has any specific questions about a certain passage or so forth, you know, I'd be glad to give you my two cents on what I feel the Spirit is saying there. That's why I do these Bible broadcasts and do these Bible studies. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll continue the discussion on the shadow government that rules for the Antichrist. And in the next session, we'll jump into part 10. Okay, don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this session, we're going to discuss the shadow government a little bit more and perhaps some contemporary things. Now, last week I did a broadcast and it was called, I commented on Trump and socialism. And what socialism is necessarily, it's pre-communism, if you have voluntary socialism. And that's what we have in America, voluntary socialism to a point. I mean, there's a little bit of forced socialism, but it's becoming more and more forced all the time. The point where it tips to communism is where it's all out forced, okay? Where there's no voluntarism to it at all. Everyone must participate in socialism. That's when it becomes communism, and that's when the Inquisitions begin. Now, I had last week someone put up I posted the video on YouTube, and let's see, this person, if I press reply here, it's going to have to stop. Okay, and someone says, telling senior citizens not to take Social Security and saying that everyone with a Social Security number is in the Antichrist system is just crazy talk. You are leading people astray. The Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast have not yet been revealed. Oh, really? Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah, the Social Security is not the beast system. Please get in the Word and study it and stop spreading conspiracy theories and scaring the elderly. So this person is a little bit scared, I guess, because I'm scaring people. Well, I am one of those people that will not take Social Security. So not only is it crazy talk, but I guess I'm acting crazy because I'm not taking that free money. Okay? I'm not participating in socialism, so I must be crazy. First of all, I haven't told anyone to do anything. Have I told anybody to stop doing any? You know, I'm telling you what I'm doing, okay? I've only told what I am actually doing. And you should be glad, I answered her, if wicked, greedy people like me don't take part in the multi-trillions dollar creation and giveaway, the longer it will last for all of those needy people that are willing to participate. Time will come when all of the elect will withdraw and learn what it really means to live by faith. And, yeah. So, some people are offended just because I say that I'm not participating and that Social Security is socialism. It is. It's not anything else. And if you've signed up for a Social Security card, then you are a socialist. You know, why be in denial? Just admit it. You know, is it really that hard? And it's voluntary socialism. See, you can withdraw. There's no law against withdrawing, and there's no law that says that you have to participate. So it is voluntary. And that's where we're at in America right now, voluntary socialism. Now, not every country is there, and I believe the time will change, and that's when you're going to have, that's when you have communism. Like, well, let's go to, before I say that, socialism, when it goes to communism and its force, well, socialism is the Antichrist government. That's what he wants. Just ask, you know, Pope Francis, the current pope, and the one before him who authored the Caritas in Veritate. They call it charity and truth, but it's a lie because it's socialism. And charity and truth is basically, if you read the documents, where you take and redistribute the wealth of all the people on the earth, and you redistribute it to the poor, so everyone has an equal share of something, okay? And that's Caritas in Veritate. That's a charity and truth, they call it. But that's a lie. That's the Antichrist charity and truth. But God's charity and truth is he loves a cheerful giver. And he doesn't want anything that's compelled. He wants everyone to give freely, to be charitable freely, because the word charity in the Bible is the word agape. It's love. You can't force love. So charity and truth, according to the Antichrist, is a lie. It's not charity and truth. It's charity lie. Because it's not love. It's forced. And you cannot force love. And that's why God loves a cheerful giver. Someone who freely gives. Okay? That's true charity, is giving freely. So when you see the government taking over charity, as has done here in America, that is the Antichrist at work. Okay? Implementing socialism is Antichrist government at work, because it's going to lead to communism. And we see what's happening around us in the world where socialism led to communism, and it became full-blown by force, charity by force, or, you know, what do you call it? Not charity and truth, charity and false charity, or charity and lies, by force. Okay? And so you have guys like Stalin. Now, if you open up your browser and you put in a term like, oh, what do we got here? You say, Jesuit Stalin. Let's see. And, Jesuits gave us Stalin, Castro, Pol Pot, and Jesuit Pope warns against Hitler. That's an article I found here. And, Jesuit Pope warned us against Hitler type people. But that was just another Inquisition. That was just another Antichrist, shadow government Inquisition. That's the shadow government working in the governments of the world behind the scenes to turn them into socialism and to bring them to communism. Because when you read chapter 13 of the Revelation about the mark of the beast and its implementation, you're reading about communism. It's forced charity. Everyone is required to have a mark or the number of the beast or etc. in order to buy and sell. That's force. Okay? It has to be social communism. But it always starts with socialism, and it just seems so right. You start by helping a few poor people. And look at what's going on now when they're printing trillions upon trillions of dollars every year to pay for this welfare state. And of course, it's devaluing the currency because it's no longer backed by substance. So what happens? Well, the Bible tells us what's going to happen when they get their worldwide communist antichrist government and monetary system, that people are going to be beheaded for not participating in the Mark of the Beast monetary system. Has this happened in the past for people not participating in communism? Well, of course it has. Stalin, the minimum, I mean, some people say 40 to 60 million people were killed, but the minimum verified 20 million killed by the shadow government installed Stalin. Okay? I got an article here. The Jesuits indoctrinated some of the worst tyrants and mass murderers of history. Hitler, 12 million, so they say. But Stalin, as much as 60 million. The lowest counts at 20 million for the Jesuit-educated Stalin. Half the population of Cambodia murdered by the Jesuit-educated, shadow government-educated Pol Pot. Fidel Castro, Jesuit-educated. It goes on and on. Whenever you see turmoil and upheaval in the country, you can pretty much bet that you're 90 to 99% you have shadow government operatives involved. And the shadow government works for the Antichrist. And that's what we've gone about over the last several months doing this, so far. Well, what will be a 12-part series. And I guess this is just kind of like an addendum, to that, session here. Once they force it, once socialism becomes force, it becomes communism, and that's when they start killing people. That's right. It's happened over and over in history. You look at what is going on in Venezuela now. What happened to the government there? You know, they went socialist to the extreme, and now they fail. I mean, this has played out over and over and over. And I'll bet you if you were able to dig in there deep, you'd find these shadow government operatives. As a matter of fact, shadow government is all over South America. They've had a stronghold there. Yeah, for many, many, many years. Yeah. So, and you know, we've been going through the series and we see how they began 500-600 years ago and what their plan was, their secret instructions, and all of their authorities for doing what they're doing have all been written down and recorded in history. And their intrigues have been recorded. They've been banished. These operatives have been banished and kicked out of countries, France. Even the Antichrist, the papacy itself banished the Jesuits. And it's believed that they murdered that pope so they could get back in and be restored. And they were, yes. So, America's Civil War, you better believe the Jesuits behind it, yeah. How about the loss of our free money in America, you know, our money of substance? Oh, we kept it for over 100 years, but finally the shadow government got in there with its coup. It's Federal Reserve coup. Remember the saying, the Federal Reserve isn't federal and neither does it have any reserves, as they say. And it's because it is not part of the U.S. government. The Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury was and is an operation of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. Conspiracy theory? No, I think not. Conspiracy fact? Everything I'm telling you is historically verifiable. All you have to do is open your eyes and look. The Antichrist is alive and well, and has been. His person, the seed of the Antichrist, has been operative for, well, let's see, 1260, 1300, 1400, 1500 years now. That's right. Had a 1260 overt reign. That was put down around the French Revolution. That ended the 1260 reign, overt reign of the Antichrist. Kind of went underground there for a little while. Yeah, but got a rebirth about 1929. But behind the scenes all the time that the Antichrist lost his temporal power, received that wound, as it were, to death by the sword. Yeah. That shadow government continued to work behind the scenes and has worked until this very day. And well, if you open your eyes in plain sight, what can we do about it? Nothing. It will play out as it will play out, even as the scripture, has said. Even people that, you know, are temporal, some unwitting coadjutors, all of these so-called, prophecy pundits pushing this dispensational futurist left behind eschatology, many of them are unwitting coadjutors for this shadow government because they hide the identity of the Antichrist and the great apostasy, as if something's going to pop up in the last 7 years. There's going to be a great apostasy, greater than the one everyone knows exists, or the greater than the one that was outed, you know, almost 1,000 years ago by the pre-Reformation fathers, or beginning to understand and see from Bible prophecy, it is here. And they identified it and the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, not just an Antichrist. He is that too, but he is the Antichrist because he is identified as the man of sin. And the man of sin and this, the Antichrist, fills the seat of the papacy. And they call him the Pope because he is at the head of that great apostasy that Paul forewarned the church about even before he wrote his Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 epistle. He said, remember when I was with you, I told you in person. So he revealed when the Antichrist would be identified and be identifiable to the church, when that great apostasy arose and the man of sin would take his seat in the hearts and minds of the church, the temple of God. And if you read my book, if Rick Wiles would write a book about the truth, like this 120-page book here, when the third temple is built, that is, if it gets built before Christ comes, and they're trying very hard. I'm not saying it's going to be built, but this I wrote for dispensational futurists. So, because this is what they think. They think this third temple is going to be built. Then the Antichrist that they're waiting for is going to be identifiable, and a great apostasy is going to rise up. But the fact is this, there is a great apostasy. It is, what, 2 billion strong on planet Earth? Do you really think there's going to be a greater apostasy out there than one that is 2 billion? Because, see, it's an anti-Christian apostasy that is masquerading as a church. That's why it's called an apostasy, okay? Because it's the church. It's apostasy of the church. So it's at least masquerading as the true church when it is a false church. Because it can't be Islam, can't be a great apostasy, because it never claimed to be the truth. You can only apostatize from the truth. Okay? That's why Islam will never be an apostasy, because it never was the truth. There you go. And that's why the Roman universal or Catholic Church will always be and is the greatest apostasy that ever was and ever will be. no greater apostasy is going to rise up. That's a fact. And it's certainly not going to suddenly rise up at the beginning of a 7-year period. Do you think you're going to get a 3 billion apostasy to rise up? Something greater than that one that's out there right now? That has only got greater since it was identified by the pre-Reformation church? The pre-Reformation true church that identified it, pulled away from it, paid with their lives and their own blood for identifying it, and Waldenses, Albigenses, laid down their lives proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ, even at the peril of their very lives. They identified that great apostasy and that man of sin. So, all we can do is wait. Now, America's place in prophecy, we've discussed this before, and it is the last and final beast that rises up that's identified as a beast, but not identified by name. The Bible doesn't say America, but America is what fits as that seventh beast power that rises up after the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and 8. Okay? There's another beast, and the fourth beast, of course, is identified as the Roman Empire, also mentioned in Revelation as the first beast of chapter 13 of the Revelation. So there's a second beast of Revelation chapter 13 called the Earth Beast, and that is America. Because it does, it rises up out of the earth and not up out of the sea or the locality where those four previous beasts rose up and were identified. At least the first three were identified by name. The fourth one was Roman Empire because it falls in succession. And it has existed as identifiable up through the end, up through the French Revolution, when the papacy lost its temporal rule over the Roman Empire. That's a fact of history. Okay? But the beast wasn't completely annihilated. Okay? That whole locality, it still exists. And right now it is under the sway, as the scripture says, the beast that was and is not. That means that you could identify it, you could see it, but it is not. Yet is. See, that's a mystery there. That's some kind of cryptic language that we're supposed to be able to apply to the Roman Empire today. And that's exactly what it is. And it's not a global brain. Because, see, it was and is not, yet is. That doesn't mean it's something new. It means it's just something that we don't identify as being what it is. It was, but is not, yet is. Wow, there's a mystery for you, but I believe the mystery is solved because that beast was and is not, yet is. It can't be something new and different. It has to be what it was, but not appear to be the same thing. And that's exactly what we have going on in the Roman Empire and the Antichrist ruling the world through his shadow government this very day. And that's the point. And this is how it's going to remain until Christ comes. Now, I'm beginning to understand and trying to understand this final second beast, the earth beast of Revelation chapter 13, that rises up with two horns. And these two horns represent two equal powers because it doesn't say that one is higher than the other or one supplants the other. It doesn't rise up with one horn and is replaced by the other or anything like that. These two horns seem to coexist on this beast throughout its life. And it says that it's lamb-like and it spake as a dragon. And I believe this is a description of these two horns of power that coexist throughout the life of this beast. And I look at America, and that's the way it is so far. We seem to have this struggle, this dichotomy that is equal between lamb-like and dragon-speak. or dragon conversation. There's a struggle, and it's going on this very day. And because the struggle is getting more vociferous, and the struggle is becoming more pronounced today than ever. And that's all I believe. It's just becoming more pronounced because the struggle is becoming, you know, just look around you, and it's self, it's, you can observe it. It's identifiable. It's undeniable what's going on today, that this struggle, it just seems to be getting louder and louder, but I don't really see one side conquering over the other. I mean, if this is going to be an equal struggle, then we have an equal struggle that is, you know, getting just as vociferous on each side to this very day, because there I am, and socialism is still voluntary. It's not communist America yet, but it seems it's getting more forced every day because most people, I mean, it's a wonder to me that most people have volunteered, but still I'm able to be over here and not volunteer. As a matter of fact, withdraw. Now, the cost is high for withdrawing. I really have to live by faith. Yes. While other people are afraid to let go of their socialism, they don't believe that God will take care of them. And they'll delude themselves into thinking, well, this is how God is taking care of me. Well, you might believe that, and hopefully you're ignorant enough to believe that and get away with it. But yeah, you don't want to listen to the truth here because, you know, as they say, ignorance is bliss. And if you hear some truth, it might convict you, and you might actually have to, you know, like I said, I would rather suffer hardship and want than participate in something that violates God's law to do it intentionally. Yeah. That's my position. And that's how I'm going to live. I can't tell anyone else what to do. I'm just here to testify to what it means for me to live by faith and how I interpret God's word. And I hope that's a blessing to everyone out there. Okay. Like I said, next session, We're going to jump back in and do part 10 of the shadow government that rules for the Antichrist. May the Almighty bless you and keep you.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit Cross the Border. .org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.